You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Looking ahead to the racing on Monday from both Carlisle and Kempton. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair. And joining me on this edition is Kevin O'Malley to look back on Saturday's star performers and hopefully point you in the direction of a winner or two on Monday. Kev, how are you?
Not too bad at all. Had a really fun day on radio yesterday with some excellent racing and got three decent meetings today, so yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was good stuff yesterday. We'll dive into some of the action in terms of a look back at some of the star performers on Saturday. We'll start with the big race of the day, the Ascot Chase, the Grade 1 contest won by Waiting Patiently, who continues to look a really progressive sort. And it was a very poignant winner, of course, for Ruth Jefferson, having taken over the licence from her late father. Great to see that, and this is a really good horse who just keeps going from strength to strength for a smaller operation, which is always good to see.
Yeah, but they're a smaller operation, but they're a very solid National Hunt operation, you know, and they know how to look after a good horse, and Waiting Patiently is very much that. You know, we saw a resurgent Q Card put up, you know, a performance that was pretty much every bit as good as any of his other performances, considering he was 12 years old, and I apologise yesterday, and I'll apologise to him again on this podcast for saying that he should have been retired after the Betfair, because I genuinely thought that he was out of love with the game. But, you know, he really is a renaissance horse. He comes back after adversity. So fair play to Q Card. And as for Waiting Patiently, he really is a class act. But in terms of going forward, I don't think he's going to go to Cheltenham. The ground won't come up soft enough for him, and they just won't send him. They're not too fussed about Cheltenham. They really aren't. And probably rightly so. I mean, they've got a good horse, and they want to look after him and send him where he's going to get his ground, A, and B, have the best chance of winning, you know. And I'm not sure Cheltenham would be his track, but they've still got, I think he'd absolutely love Aintree, the Melling Chase over 2 miles 4.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a 3-miler. They're looking at, not yet anyway, they're looking at the King George as his chief target, which would suit him, obviously. It's a flat track, 3 miles, that would suit him. But if you watched that race again yesterday, right after the line, he was almost legless. He was so tired, Waiting Patiently. He was genuinely tired. He gave everything.
It was a hard race,
really hard race. So I dare say he, you know, his stamina was at its end there, and so it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here and how he would get on in a King George. But he's certainly a fantastic horse. He travels well, he jumps well, he's got such a high cruising speed, and he's a class act.
Yeah, it's been a trim for the Ryanair at Cheltenham, but as you mentioned, the Melling Chase is well over 2.5 miles of entry on a track that just may favour him a little bit more, and of course ground to consider as well.
Yeah.
The big race of the day at Haydock was the Grand National Trial as well, a Grade 3 heat. This one won by Yala Renke, taken apart really by Yala Renke, who finished fully 54 lengths clear of Black Lion, who was in turn 74 clear of Mystery. Those are the only three to finish. It's a little bit hard for me to sort of assess the form, Kev. I mean, we know that Haydock heavy ground is heavier than anywhere else, and it was attritional stuff yesterday. I mean, how exactly do you assess the form coming out of that race? Clearly Yala Renke handled the extreme conditions better than the rest of them, but a 54 length victory, it seems very difficult to equate the form going forward.
You can't really. I thought Black Lion was going straight to the Gold Cup and using that as a prep run for the Grand National. They've seen fit to put him into this race again, which didn't suit him last year. He was beaten in it last year, and he's been well beaten in it again this year. In terms of the Grand National for Black Lion, he's obviously been pushed out by a few points for that. And I don't think he's a 4-mile-4 horse. You know, I don't think he stays the Grand National trip, and I think that'll be seen again. I could see him running another fantastic race and finishing in the top 5 or 6. But I don't think he'll win, because I don't think he stays well enough. As for this race at Haydock, Sir A.P. McCoy actually tipped Yalang, believe it or not. But yeah, Black Lion, he was just never really jumping. He was looking after himself over his fences. He didn't really have that spring in his step as he does over the national fences. I don't know if they're going to rest him at Cheltenham or if they're going to let him take his chance in the Gold Cup. That'll obviously depend on how he comes out of this race.
And talking about hard races, that was really tough.
He was legless. You know, he wasn't himself. He's ran below form, but hopefully they can get him back to the Grand National and hopefully he can run another big race.
Yeah, and hats off to Alarenki as well for handling conditions and getting the job done. Elsewhere, there was plenty of good racing at both Haydock and Ascot. We saw Agrippar get turned over in the in the Rendlesham hurdle at a very short price in the end. Just looked for a stride or two as though he was coming to pick up Donna's Diamond, but then perhaps didn't quite go through with his effort late in the day.
Yeah, he didn't travel or he didn't jump as well as he usually does, and he didn't really find for pressure. I mean, Lizzie was having to push him a long, long way from home, and it just didn't really work out for him. You know, the other, what was the race he won the last day?
It was
the Cleve at Cheltenham.
Yes, yeah, of course it was.
I mean, that was his main target for the season. I mean, they made no secrets about that. He got turned over by a Progressive horse. Of course, the other horse to mention from Wing Canton is Elgin, who won the Kingwell hurdle.
Yeah.
Really impressively. Beat Chitabello and Call Me Lord, Sam. I believe William Hill had a price yesterday, pending supplementation of 25-1 Elgin for the champion hurdle.
Right.
He's an improving horse. He's a no-nonsense type. He's growing up. He's a big, strong type now, and he's jumping very well. He's got loads of great experience in top handicaps, and now he's won a grade two really impressively. So I think the Elite Racing Club are going to stamp up the cash to supplement him for the champion hurdle, and rightly so. He deserves that.
Yeah.
He's earned his crack at the champion hurdle.
And of course, if you take Bouvardet out of the race, it's very open in behind.
Yeah, there's really not much there. You've got Faheen, who I was speaking to Richie's racing manager the other day. He's a good friend of mine, and he said, look, Faheen will probably run up to 167, 168, 169, something like that. Wherever that gets him is where it'll get him.
Yeah.
Essentially, he was saying that he might not be quite as imperious as he once was, and that's fine. It might well be enough for him to win a champion hurdle or come second again. My Tentra Yours is there. He's got his own each-way claims again. Mellon might bounce back, but apart from that, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Nothing. So Elgin, you know, 25-1, if that is the price, it definitely was yesterday anyway. You know, I think Elgin would, even if he was 16 or 20s on the day, I might have a little fiver each way on him. You know, he's a very good horse, and Alan King, of course, has won the champion hurdle before, so it's there's nothing unfamiliar to him in terms of preparing one for that race.
Anything else that stood out on the day before we move on? We had, of course, Black Corton, who was impressive again. Chef Des Oboe, very impressive at Haydock. There were good performers right across the two cards. Anything that really stuck out?
Chef Des Oboe was really impressive. I'll mention one that won over in Gowran Park.
Okay.
A horse called Saldier. He's owned by Rich Ritchie, trained by Willie Mullins, and he won a maiden hurdle. He beat a 40-1 shot and a 50-1 shot. He beat them by 10 lengths, but it was more just the manner in which he'd done it. He's a big towering kind of horse. He's a big athletic type. And by all accounts, he's going to go straight to the Triumph Hurdle now without another run. And I dare say that Ruby would have been watching that yesterday and thinking, I really want to get on that horse. So Saldier is very much a dark horse for the Triumph Hurdle, just to give a little mention to.
Okay, Saldia then could potentially be one to keep an eye on going forward. And of course, it was great to see our Duke bounce back to like his best in the Red Mills, put himself back on the Gold Cup trail over a shorter trip, but he's beaten a really good horse in Presenting Percy, and they were a mile clear of the rest.
That might well turn out to be the best bit of form, staying chase form of the season. I mean, Presenting Percy has a tremendous chance in the RSA. Our Duke, now that he's got that confidence back, you know, he's got such a high cruising speed. The fact that he can beat a horse like Presenting Percy like that over 2 miles four on the back of a poor run. Not a poor run, where a run where he hit the second fence or the third fence really hard, and he was unable to recover from that. I think when it comes to Our Duke and the Gold Cup, his chance will depend on his ability to jump the first circuit. If he can negotiate the first circuit without making a mistake and get into that rhythm, he does have that cruising speed. He'll just keep going and going and going. There's another few that fit that bill in terms of, like, definitely red. He's another one that has a high cruising speed. He stays, and if he gets jumping, he'll just keep rolling and rolling. The Gold Cup's really turning out to be quite a really interesting race. It's not one that I would say is full with top-class horses, but there's a lot of high-quality staying chasers that are forming around Mike Bite and Sizing John at the top of the market, and I'm really liking the Gold Cup market at the moment. Our Duke is very much part of that picture.
Yeah, great to see Our Duke bounce back on Saturday. We're going to take a look ahead to Monday's racing now. We've got a race from Carlisle and a race from Kempton picked out, beginning with the 3:35 at Carlisle. Handicap hurdle over just shy of 2.5 miles. Decent pot on offer as well. £11,372 to the winner. And a progressive field coming into this one, Kev, or certainly in the fact that plenty of these arrive in good form, if nothing else.
They do. I mean, it's a good price. It's a 18.5 grand on offer. For this Class 3 race over 2 miles, 3 at Carlisle. I've napped Saki City in this race, Sam. He's a solid and consistent Class 3 performer. That's the class that he usually runs in. He finally got his day in the sun first time cheek pieces at Catterick last time out, beating a fair yardstick in Zero Shades of Grey. He's very much a Catterick lover and not proven necessarily going right-handed, as Carlisle is, obviously. But his speed figures and form credentials are solid throughout, especially his top speed figures are tremendous. He's very, very consistent in that regard. And hopefully, the application of that headgear and the fact that he gained the confidence from that last time out could be the catalyst for him to become a little bit more versatile in terms of going right-handed and negotiating other tracks. So I do like Saki City tomorrow. He's got a very good record in this grade. He's consistent, and he had a decent win last time out. I think the chief threat is the in-form Slainlough, or Slainlough, however you want to say that. He's got a similar form profile to the selection, but he's been found out in this grade before. His win last time out was somewhat benefiting from a drop to Class 4 company. He's back up to Class 3 now. It's hard to know exactly how he's going to do there. Blottos for Sue Smith down the bottom. He's a little bit to find on speed figures, but he's the other one coming into the race in form, but he wouldn't necessarily be for me in this class. I think he might just be found out here. So, I think Saki City has a very good chance of following up his Catterick win last time out.
Saki City then the choice in that 3:35 race at Carlisle. Onto the all-weather and onto the evening action now. The 7:50 at Kempton Park is a mile handicap. A Class 4 event with 9 runners down to take their chance in it. Where do you go in this one, Kev?
Yeah, really interesting little race here over a mile. I've gone for Jumping Jack. I think will be an each-way price, maybe between 5 and 7 to 1, something like that. I'm not sure what quite price he'll be, but somewhere around that range, I dare say. He's a useful multi-purpose sort. He's won on the turf and won on the all-weather. He's also shown promise in a couple of novice hurdles, so he's a versatile type, Jumping Jack. He might just find this mile trip a bit sharp at this stage, but he's a previous Kempton winner over 7 furlongs back in 2016. His 7 furlong winner at Brighton only as recently as last June. So even though he's been running over 2 miles over hurdles and doing well, he's not devoid of speed. I think Jumping Jack has a very good chance. A lot will depend on the pace in the race. I think the likes of Admiral Act and maybe Kingston Courageong might go on and make this a decent test over the mile trip. And if that's the case, then I think Jumping Jack will be staying on quite strongly in the closing stages. Lacan is a danger. He's the likely favourite. He arrives in form. Brett Johnson's charge really likes it here, and he's won 2 of his last 3. But in 6 attempts, he's never followed up a win with another one, which is always something I look out for because, horses win and then they don't win, and that's happened to him 6 times, and he's going to be favourite tomorrow, and that's a real angle to look at in terms of wanting to get him beat. The horse that was second to him, Udmetha Bridge, was a little bit unlucky, and I think that horse might reverse that bit of form, but I'm hoping that Jumping Jack will be within 2 or 3 lengths of the lead as they hit the cutaway, and he might just find a little bit too much for them. But I'm hoping he'll just get into the frame and run a big race anyway, Jumping Jack in the 7:50.
Jumping Jack then in that 7:50 race at Kempton. Thank you very much for that, Kev. Just a quick recap, please, of your couple of fancies there on Monday.
Yep, the nap on Monday is in the 3:35 at Carlisle. I've gone for Saki City to follow up his Catterick win last time out. And in the 7:50 at Kempton, I'm hoping that Jumping Jack can prove a good each-way bet.
Brilliant stuff. The thoughts of Kevin O'Malley there ahead of Monday's racing. You can join us for it all on Racing Radio from 1:35. We've got action at Lingfield and Carlisle in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening. Hope you can join us for all of that. Kev, pleasure as always. Thanks for that and enjoy the action.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.